Thanks, Jeremy. I like Jeremy's shirt. Shohei's on the back. All right, welcome, welcome. Am I in the light? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning. Let me see some smiles. Come on. Come on. It's my birthday. Let me see some smiles. Oh, I'm so happy to be with you all this morning. It is so good to be together, to come together as a church and a church family. And to start off this service, I want to read some dad jokes. All right? That's my birthday gift to you all. Dad jokes, which are, kind of funny. Okay, here's the first one. I only seem to get sick on weekdays. I must have a weekend immune system. Anybody get that? I can see some going, weekend. Okay. My wife asked me the other day where I got so much candy. I said, I always have a few Twix up my sleeve. Twix, yeah, that's my favorite candy. I asked my date to meet me at the gym, but she never showed up. I guess the two of us aren't going to work out. Dad jokes, yes. A panic-stricken man explained to his doctor, you have to help me. I think I'm shrinking. Now settle down, the doctor calmly told him. You just have to learn to be a little patient. Okay, last one, and the torture will stop. Never date a tennis player. Love means nothing to them. Okay. Just wanted to get some smiles out of our congregation. Just wanted to get some smiles, a little laughter, a little bit of groaning. Today, I'm starting a new series, and it's called Renewing the Mind. Renewing the Mind. And this series, it's going to be a short one, maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks. We're not exactly sure. Not sure what Barry's going to speak on next week. But it's going to be a good one. Because in order to experience the kingdom of God, we have to have renewed minds. Okay? We can't operate on the way that we were operating when we didn't know Jesus and expect to understand the kingdom. We need to have our minds shifted and renewed. And so before I get into this whole thing about the renewed mind, I want to talk a little bit about the kingdom of God. Because that's what this is unto. Okay? It's not just to shift our minds, just to shift our minds for thinking differently sake. It's to understand the kingdom of God and to perceive the kingdom of God. Okay, so I just want to bear with me a little bit because I'm going to just share a little bit. You know, we've been tossing that phrase. Have you guys heard that phrase a lot more? Does it seem like we've been using that phrase, the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, a lot more? Yeah? I would say over the last year or so. Pastor Ed just talked about it a few weeks. This whole message was on the kingdom of God. And so I just want to touch on that a little bit to make the connection between the kingdom of God, and this whole thing about renewing the mind, okay? Now, when we talk about the kingdom of God, unfortunately, it's invisible. Just like its creator, it's invisible. And so we can't see it, we can't perceive it with our, in the natural, with just, I should say, the natural senses, with our eyes, right? With the feeling, like this, we can feel this, okay? This is of the world, but in the spiritual realm, there's this whole other things going on, angels and demons, and the Lord's doing stuff, and the enemy's doing things, and there's this whole kingdom that he is bringing into this land, this world, okay? Not only that, but this the whole kingdom of God, it's this fullness of life that God wants us to experience, okay? It's more than just getting a job, working, making money, getting a house, having a family, doing all these hobbies and doing all these things. Life is way more than that. But a lot of times we don't treat it that way. That's what we're focused on. How much can I make? What can I do? How can I? And while those things are a part of life, if that's all we're focused on, we're missing everything that God wants us to see and to perceive and to experience. And so that's why the kingdom of God is so important. There's this fullness of life that comes with it. Jesus said this in John 10:10, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Okay? He said, "I have come that we may have life in Him." But it's not just, yeah, it's an okay life. You know, the other life, the life you have in this world is good enough too. That's good. No, he's saying, I'm going to give you life, and this life that I'm giving to you is when you understand and you experience what you were made for. There's this fullness of life that only Jesus can bring to us, and only we can experience through Him and understanding His kingdom. Okay? Does that make sense? Have I lost anybody already? Yeah? Now again, like I said, the challenge with this is that it's invisible. How do you interact with an invisible kingdom? How do we stay aware of an invisible kingdom? And it's something, like I said, we cannot perceive in the natural with our natural senses. But it starts with the renewing of the mind. It starts with a shifting of our mindsets. So I just want to ask you this. Which realm is better then? Is this natural realm where we can feel and see and touch and smell, is that better? Or is the unseen realm, the kingdom, is that a better realm? And according to Paul, he says this, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is unseen, what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Okay? He's saying, if you compare the two, the seen and the unseen, there's no competition. The seen is temporary. Yeah, you may have it right now, but it's not going to last. The unseen realm, the unseen things of heaven are eternal. And to me, I don't know about you, but to me, that means it's better to have things that I can bank on that's going to be for me and with me eternally versus things that are just going to come and go. Think about this. If you were to build a house, would you want to build a house with Legos? Or would you want to build a house with brick and mortar? Right? Let's say you had these Legos that are the, you know, not the little Lego, but a full size, and you could actually build a house with it. Actually, there's probably someone who's done that, right? I mean, I know some crazy people that have probably done something like that where they built a house out of Legos. Would you want to build a house out of Legos that could last, I don't know, maybe a year, 2 years? When the wind comes, when the storms come, do you want to be in that Lego house? Or do you want to be in a house that's going to last 50, 100, 200 years? Whatever. I would rather be in that house that's going to last a long time. I'd rather invest in a place, in a thing that's going to be there for a while, rather than something that's going to come and go. But yet, when we focus our attention and all of our thoughts on this, what we can see and feel, that's what we're doing. We're placing all of our investment, our time, and all of that into this thing that's going to be gone after however many years. But when we place our investment into the treasures in heaven, those are going to last forever. When we invest in our relationship with the Lord, that's something that's going to be with us forever. He's going to be with us forever. And so that's why walking in the kingdom of heaven, super important. Even though it's invisible, even though we can't perceive it, we've got to learn how to do that. Otherwise, We're placing all our, what do they call it, eggs in the wrong basket. Right? It's not to say we don't put any eggs in this basket, but this is the one, the eternal one, is the one where we want to put most of our eggs in. Because this is what's going to last. You know, not only is the kingdom invisible, it's like going to a different country. Because this whole kingdom, Jesus, if you read the Bible, read the Gospels, you will see that Jesus preached more about the kingdom of heaven than anything else. Even more than hell. Even more than love. Even more than, a lot of us have heard, oh, Jesus talked a lot about money. Even more than money. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven constantly. He was teaching it. He was preaching it. He was proclaiming it. And then he was demonstrating it with miracles that people would see, people getting healed, people getting touched, people getting restored. And so if Jesus is spending so much time on speaking about it, then it must be something that we need to learn about and to be trained in. And just like going to a foreign country needs time to be trained and to learn, it's the same thing with the kingdom of heaven. You know, when I was younger, 9 years old, we moved from Hawaii to California, to LA. And I've had people come and tell me, why did you move from Hawaii to LA? Why would you? And I'm like, I'm nine. Okay? I don't have a job. It's my parents. They wanted to move. They moved the whole family and stuff. So I didn't have much of a choice. And I guess I could have stayed and been homeless. But, you know, the family went, so I went. So we got here. It was culture shock for me. Okay? Now, as a nine-year-old, I wasn't like a world traveler. I haven't gone all over the world and stuff. All I knew was Manoa Valley, Manoa Elementary. Okay, I had my friends, and I had baseball, and that was it. I didn't even go to church back then. I was just, yeah, that was it. And so when I came to California, to Torrance, California, and this was in the 70s, okay, not like it is today, in the 70s, we went from a majority, being a part of a majority, Asians, a whole bunch of Asians in Hawaii, to a lot of Caucasians. There was like, I think, 8 or 9 Asians in the whole school. And it was me, my sister, my 3 cousins, and 3 other people that I think they were Asian. I'm not sure. They had black hair. Actually, they could have been Mexican. I don't know. I didn't know everybody. But it was this whole thing of culture shock where all of a sudden I'm just in this different place. Even the seasons. The seasons that we have, like up here, we actually have seasons. It's not as crazy as, you know, the East Coast or anything, but we do have seasons. In Hawaii, there's one season. It's just hot. Well, actually, maybe it's two, hot and less hot, right? But I would go to school in slippers, right? Anybody went to school in Hawaii? Yeah, Jody? Just me and Jody. Yeah, okay. So remember that, right? Slippers! We were running around in slippers and stuff, short pants, and it wasn't until I came to California that I go, oh, we have to get shoes. I go, well, I have these shoes that I wear to weddings and, you know, funerals and stuff, but so we had to buy shoes. We had to buy long pants. Never wore long pants in Hawaii. Unless I need to wear shoes, then I wear long pants. Jacket. Oh my gosh. A jacket. Never had a jacket. Never needed a jacket in Hawaii, but all of a sudden, coming to California, I need a jacket. The food, totally different. The language, totally different. I had to learn how am I going to survive in this new culture, in this new way of living. And thank God, my cousins were there. They were born here on the mainland, so they were able to bring us, my sister and I, along. But they were the ones that taught us how to live in this new land, in this new place. And it's the same with the kingdom of heaven. We need to work together. We need to read the Bible. We need to be able to hear his voice. And we need to work together as a family, to learn how to navigate this kingdom of heaven. Because you just don't fall into it automatically. You just, oh, all of a sudden, hey, I'm living in the kingdom. It is something that our minds need to be trained. What to see, what to kind of seeing with spiritual eyes and with our spiritual hearts and with our spirits. How do we navigate this kingdom of heaven? And so that's the call upon this church, upon the church, really, not just our church, upon the church, is how do we navigate the kingdom of heaven? Okay, so I gave you a little bit about what's going on. What is this whole thing unto? So let's get into the renewed mind, okay? We're going to use a verse that is very, very famous. Very famous verse about the renewing the mind. And so let's look at that right now. Romans 12:2. Okay, Romans 12:2. It says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, so we look at this verse, and there are two things that were highlighted to me as I was studying it. Is the first one is Paul goes, this is what not to do. He goes, this is what not to do, and here's what to do. Okay, the first one is do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Now, the hard part is, again, we were born into this world. So there are habits that have been developed over the years, especially before we became Christians. There's habits. There's a way to navigate this world. There's wisdom of this world that we've been using. And so Paul is saying, okay, basically let some of those habits go. You gotta let it go because there's a new kingdom, there's a new reality that you need to plug into. So some of these things, you gotta let it go. You gotta be willing to let it all go and submit it to the Lord. I was reading, there's an author, his name is Stone Henry, and he says, conforming implies a passive acceptance and adherence to the norms, values, and behaviors prevalent in society. It suggests a tendency to blend in, to follow the crowd, and to adopt the mindset dictated by world standards. Okay? And when I read that, I was like, oh, that's me. That's what I like to do. It's easier this way. It's safer this way just to follow the crowd. Whatever people are doing, whether I agree with them or not, it's just easier to go with that because then I don't stand out. Then I won't be canceled. And it's the fear of man that comes in and says, this is what you do. You want to keep your friends? You want to keep relationships? You want to keep friends and relationships with harmony in your relationships? Do this. And Paul is saying, no, do not conform to the ways of the world. Do not conform. Deal with the fear of man in your life. Deal with the anxiety. Deal with the worry. Deal with the willingness to stand out for the sake of the Lord. Deal with that. Address it. Make choices that doesn't lead you to this. Because what happens is when the Lord presents you opportunities, you cannot do it because you're doing this. Well, what is everybody else doing? Is anybody else saying yes to God? Is anybody following Him? And if we're in a crowd where this is it, then this is what we're going to do. You know, it's interesting that the Lord will not make us do things. So if we choose this, He goes, okay, well, I'm not going to make you. It's your choice. It's your choice. You have my spirit in you. So you, as a Christian, can operate as a carnal Christian. You can operate according to the flesh. That stinky, dead flesh that I've crucified with Jesus, you can operate to that if you want. And so it's like, wow. God, you've given us so much power in choices that he's even willing to let us make those choices. You know, in Matthew 6, there's another verse, a famous verse, about worrying, okay? And it says this, Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Don't worry. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? This is the part I want us to look at. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Okay? He's saying, what will we drink? What will we eat? How are we going to live? All that stuff. Those are questions believers shouldn't be asking. Those are questions that people that don't know Jesus should be asking, are asking, are pursuing, are going after. And he says, your Father already knows what you need. So why are you worried about those things? Why are you worried about those things? Why are you giving those things place in your heart, in your mind? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't conform to this world. When I was putting this message together, the word that came to mind as I was putting this part is the word orphaned. If you're an orphan and you don't have parents, this is the way you're going to operate. You know, we adopted our kids from China, and that was one thing. We had to go through some education about adopting and all that stuff, and that's one of the things that they said to look out for, is that the orphans don't have a family, so they've learned how to survive on their own. So a lot of times, sometimes they'll pocket, they call it pocketing, or they'll save food in their mouth. This is, you know, I think for little small younger kids, but because they don't know when their next meal is coming, so they have to on their own save food to eat later. And we've heard these different stories and different things to watch out for. And it just broke our hearts, because it's like, that makes sense, that if you don't have someone caring for you, you don't know when your next meal is coming from, that you're going to do things like that. And it's like, oh my gosh. And then the Lord connected, how often, Ross, do you do this with me when you don't trust me and you don't operate as my son? That you're worried about all these things, and that you may not think of it as like you're being an orphan, but that's what you're doing. And so that was very convicting, and even more so, I want to just shower my kids, my two adopted kids, I want to shower them with love, that they know that they'll never be in need, in the sense of Ida and I will do the best we can to care for them. So that's what Paul says, don't do. Don't conform to this world. But then the second thing he says, but this is what I want you to do, okay? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing your mind. You know, the mind is the center of our thoughts, our beliefs, our perspectives. It shapes how we see ourselves, how we see other people, how we see circumstances. With the right influence, with God and the Holy Spirit and the Bible speaking to us, the mind is a very powerful tool that's shaped according to how God wants us to live, the kingdom of God. But it can also be shaped by other things too, by other negative influences. And that's what we don't want to do. We want to go towards the Holy Spirit, towards God, towards what the Bible says. You know, the word renew means a renewal, a renovation, complete change for better. Can you guys guess what another word has a similar definition? So we're talking about renewal. Any guesses out there? This is not a rhetorical question. Any guesses, any thoughts? While I drink some water. Okay. It's another R song. So it's another R word.
Refresh.
Refresh? Oh, okay. Okay.
Restore.
Restore? Oh, okay. Okay. That's good. That's good. That's good. Close. Close. Repent. 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 This is what repent means. Repent means to change one's mind for better. Okay, so they're both talking about changes. Change, renewing the mind, repenting. It's the same thing. Jesus said this in Mark 1:15, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So he's teaching back then, teaching people, you got to change your mind. You got to change your mind. I'm bringing the news of this kingdom that's coming. Change your mind. Change the way you see things. Because something superior than the law is coming. He is the fulfillment of the law. But he, Jesus, is superior to the law. And he's saying we need to think differently. Because the kingdom of God is within your grasp. The kingdom of God is near. And so we need to change. We need to renew. We need to repent. We need to change the way we view. And we need to change from the worldly view to God's point of view. To see from heaven's point of view instead of the world's. You know, imagine you're facing some kind of health crisis. Okay? This thing, you get this diagnosis and it's like this huge thing. And you're going, oh my gosh. And it's we don't want to suppress our feelings or to deny things that we feel. So if we feel fear, if we feel worry, if we feel concern, that's, I don't want to say that's natural, but that's what happens. A lot of times we'll feel that. Do you think the Lord wants us to stay in that place? Mark says no. I don't think so either. What we can do is bring those feelings, bring those concerns, bring all of the thoughts and the things that doctors are saying to us, bring that to the Lord and go, God, this is what I'm going through right now. I don't want to minimize the seriousness of the condition, but God, I'm worried. I'm stressed. The doctor said this. The scientists, I've done research. This is what they're saying. Da, 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 and all these things. And bring it to the Lord. And the Lord, it's amazing. He never, you're not acting in faith, so you stay away until you're ready. No, he always wants us to come to him. He wants us to bring those concerns. And then he ministers to us in that place. So then what happens? The longer we stay with the Lord, engage with this, he starts shifting things. I know for me, how the Lord speaks to us is different, but the Lord likes to ask me questions. He likes to, as I was preparing for this message, it's like, do you think I don't know what's going on? Do you think that I don't have enough resources to get you through this? Do you think I'm not powerful enough? Do you think I'm not smart enough? And I tell you, when he does that, it just starts shifting the way I think. Because now, instead of looking at it from what I can do, or even what man can do, now I'm starting to look at it from heaven's point of view, saying, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is what God can do in this situation. This is how God can move. I don't know exactly what he's going to do, but this is what he can do. And so now as I shift and I start looking at it from his point of view, then it's like this, what used to be this huge mountain, what used to be a Goliath, now it's like, oh, okay. Not that I can handle it, but God can do something amazing in this. And then if you listen to Catalyst Stories, if you listen to your friends and your family and you start hearing testimonies of what God has done, now all of a sudden you're starting to get pictures in your mind of what God can do. God can heal. God can touch. God can minister. God can restore. And now all of a sudden we're starting to get pictures of this is what God can do in this situation. That's why testimonies are so important, because we need to hear from other people what God has done, and especially if it's the same thing. So I don't know if you guys heard, but Christian, I didn't even ask him, is he here? He's not here. He shared in front of anybody. Okay, he got healed. His ankle got healed. He had hurt his ankle, and he got healed. This is, I don't know, a month and a half ago or so. He got healed. And so he was like, man, my foot feels so good. He was talking to Mark, and it just kind of, so we had him come up, and he shared with the congregation. But I don't know if you guys knew, but Cameron had a sprained ankle as well. And so he came up, Christian prayed for him, his ankle got healed. And so it's these stories that we hear, these testimonies of what God can do, it starts pervading all over into the body. And that's what we want. That's the kingdom. That's what the renewed mind does. It shifts things, and instead of going, yeah, I got to be in this boot for 6 months, 2 months or whatever, now it becomes, God can heal me right now in this place. And we start shifting to see the world and our circumstances from God's point of view. Now you may be saying, okay, well, it sounds so easy to do. And so when I get these big things, I'll start stepping into them. No, my encouragement to you is start stepping into them today. There are things that each of us faces today that we can step into and go, God, bring the kingdom into the circumstance. So with your kids, if you're having problems with your kids, you can ask the Lord, how do you see this situation? How do you see my child, and how do you want me to operate in this time? In work, the workplace, you can do the same thing. God, I don't like my boss. There's things that he makes me do, she makes me do, or things that she doesn't treat me very well. And so my option is to quit. My first thing is, I'm going to get out of here. Well, that may be something the Lord's calling you to, but it also may be, want you to minister to that person. I want you to bring the kingdom to your workplace. That's why I put you there. The light is supposed to go into the darkness. So we need to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to minister? How do you see that person, God? What's the gold that you have deposited into that person? Because you made them. Whether they're a Christian or not, God made them. So how can I speak life into that person? There's so many different things that we can do. And God wants us to start stepping into them. Not only the hard things, but the little things as well. You know, when we came from China, we had to fly out there. And so we flew into Nanjing, and we're there to pick up Jackson. And I was thinking, okay, you know, the parents are there, and then they'll bring the child in, and then, you know, you spend some time with them, and then they'll take them back to their first home, and then you have, you know, just this gradual interaction, right? I mean, that kind of seems to make, at least to me it did, it makes sense. No, they get the families, they get the parents, and then they bring in the kids, they march in the kids, and then they match up the kids to the parents, and then it's, bye, have a good time, and it's like, oh my gosh, we have this kid now. There's no like warm up. There's no, you know, you just get in there. And it was like, oh my gosh. And so for the first week that we were in China, it was just learning, you know, how to be a parent. And so we're supposed to fly from Nanjing to Guangzhou to go to the American consulate to do all the American side of paperwork and stuff. So we're in Nanjing. On the plane, and I'm stressed out because I'm going, okay, with this child, with our son, I've known him for a week. I don't know if he's been on the plane before. I don't know how he's going to react with the air pressure and all that stuff. And then there were other families on the plane too. And I'm going, oh my gosh, are they going to trigger each other? Like one starts crying, then another starts crying, then another starts crying, and then they all start crying, and then there's all this. So I'm having all these thoughts in my head of what's going to happen? Okay, Lord, just get us to Guangzhou as fast as we can get there so we can get back to the hotel somewhere safe, right? So we're in Nanjing, and then the pilot comes on, there's a delay. That never happens, right, in China, right, John? That never happens on the plane. No, never. Just to give a little bit of context, when we flew from, I think it was Hong Kong to Nanjing, we were delayed. I think it was about either like 4 to 6 hours. So we're sitting at the gate, me and I just sitting at the gate for, I don't know, 4 hours or so. They finally let us on, and we're thinking we're going to fly. We're sitting on the plane for another, I don't know, couple hours or so. So that's what's in my mind. I'm going, a week before, this is what happened. So I'm going, oh my gosh, is this what's going to happen again? Then I see the flight attendants start wheeling the drink carts. And I'm going, oh no, we're going to be here a long time because they're serving drinks now. And of course, they turn off the air. So it's hot. So we're just waiting. So I'm all those thoughts, all those things are starting to just, and I was just like, oh my gosh, God, I'm going to freak out. And then I just had this thought, you're his son. You're God's son. Is God beyond any of this stuff that's happening? And I was like, no, he's not. But I don't know what to do. I learned that I'm his son, but now what? So then I go, I'm just going to start making stuff up in the sense of what to do. So then I just go, God, I'm your son, okay? I don't think you need to be reminded, but I'm just going to remind you, I'm your son, and that you love me, and you're always with me. You're right here on the plane with me while I'm freaking out. You're right here. And then I start declaring things. I'm your son, and so you will bring things together. You will work things out for my good because you are faithful, you are good, you are always here, and you're going to bring some kind of resolution to this whole, I don't know what it is, but you're going to bring this resolution to this whole situation for my good. And so God, I just laid it all out. God, I'm freaking out, but God, I'm fearful, I'm scared. Lord, just come over this whole plane. I'm just kind of just praying and declaring and decreeing and all kinds of stuff. Like I said, I didn't know what to do. I was just so desperate. I finished, and I could feel the peace of the Lord come on me. I go, okay, he's got this. He's got this. And about 15 minutes later, the flight attendants hadn't gotten very far with passing on drinks. All of a sudden, they start marching their carts to the back of the plane. I'm like, hey, I didn't get my drink. You know, I kind of wanted an alcoholic beverage at this point, you know, need to calm down. They didn't even bring out drinks to everyone. And I was like, oh my gosh. And sure enough, the pilot comes on. We're going to pull away from the gate. We're going to take off. And I was like, oh my gosh. God, that you did this. You did this. They were going to pass out drinks. I don't know to how many people, but you know, when they bring out the carts, that's not a good sign. This was what was supposed to happen, and you shifted everything. And that changed my mindset of who God is, who I am, and how I need to see things from his perspective. When it's like, man, that's too big or that's too much, God's like, really? Really? Come to me, and I'll show you what I can do. We need to do that. You know, I've been finding that these couple verses have been really helpful. When I meditate on them and declare them and start my thinking from this perspective of these verses. So, Damon, you can bring it up. Did I give you this? Oh, really? Oh, okay. First one is Romans 8:28, and it says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Right? And we know in all things, not some things, not most, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so I keep that in my mind. Whatever I'm going through, whatever situation, I remind myself, this is who God is, and this is what he's promised to do for me. Again, I don't hold him to, this is what you're going to do, God. This is what. No, I don't hold him to that. But I hold him to, you're going to work it out. You're going to work it out for my good. Because I know you love me, I love you, and I'm called according to your purposes, which is to walk in the kingdom of God. So I know you're going to do something good. So whenever I look at something, I go, hey, he's going to work it out for good. Another one is James 1, 2, and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Oh, hey, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So when we see this, we go, okay, I'm going through a hard time. But you know what? I can consider it joy because I know that God is going to do something with this in me to develop me, to mature me, so that when I face bigger things, I will face it with even more joy instead of stress and worry. And always going back to faith level zero, it's like, okay, faith level one. I had this experience on the plane. Okay, boom. Faith level one. I want to operate from faith level one now. For the next thing. And then it's a financial thing. Oh, okay, yes. Faith number two. Faith level number two. Faith level three. Instead of always going back to zero and going, oh, this is a new thing. I'm going to freak out. No. Let's operate from faith and grow into that. Okay? Consider it pure joy. These verses and other ones like this just bolster me. And remind me of who he is, who I am, and what he wants to do in my life. That's why it's so, well, I'll get into that in a little bit. But holding the Bible, holding those verses in our hearts, super important. Super important if you want to grow and mature. So this is the part, this is just a portion of the renewing of the mind. This is some things that we can do to help us start shifting our way and working and experiencing the kingdom. Okay, so I want to go off three application steps or three application things. First one, study the Word of God. Okay? And is Henry here? No? Okay. S. What do they call that? Alliteration? Yeah? Okay. He would be proud of me for, you might want to take a picture. So, study the Word of God. Okay? Renewing the mind isn't just about getting knowledge. Okay? It's not just reading the Bible. Okay, I know about Jesus. But it's taking it in and going, God, what are you doing in this situation? I'm reading through the book of Mark right now. And what I'm doing is I'm looking at it with the lens of what is Jesus, how is Jesus renewing minds here? And it's funny because as I'm reading, I've read Mark how many times? And as I'm reading, it's like new glasses or new revelation is coming. It's like, oh, he's doing it again. He's doing it again. He's teaching and he's preaching and he's telling them that the way that they're doing it, there's a better way. He's doing it again. And I'm just, as I'm going through, I'm going, oh my gosh. And what happens is people who don't get it, they start getting angry because now he's starting to shift everything, traditions and the way of looking at things. And so as I'm reading, I'm going, oh, this is him doing that again. This is him doing that again. And so study the Word of God, not just to know facts, but to just have this encounter with God as you're reading and go, yeah, that's changing my mindset. Another one is speak to yourself about God's truths. Okay? Kind of like what I did on the plane. Just go remind yourself, because a lot of times we need to be reminded. Right? We forget that we're God's children. We act like orphans. We think we're orphans, that I got to take care of this. And it's like, no. God is watching out for us. He's faithful. He's good. He's there. He will work it out. And so let me just posture myself in a way that I'm listening for God, and that when He wants me to act, then I would go and act. But I'm not going to do things on my own. I'm going to abide in Him. I'm going to stay connected. I'm the branch. He is the vine. I'm going to stay connected to Him and operate how He wants me to operate. But sometimes I need to speak to myself and go, hey, you're the branch. He's the vine. Come on. Stay connected. Stay aware. Stay aware. Okay? And the last one, state His truths out loud. Okay? You can declare these things into the atmosphere, right? Because our fight isn't against flesh and blood, but against the forces, the principalities, right? This is who we're fighting. This is who we are coming against. And so there are times we need to speak things out into the atmosphere. My son Jackson, he has this fear of the dark. And so there are times I tell him, okay, Jackson, can you go take the trash out to the street? And especially if it's nighttime, he'll be like, and sometimes he'll say, oh, you know, can you watch me? Can you watch me? And I'm like, okay, well, so I'm trying to work with him as far as how to get over being afraid of the dark and stuff. But then it comes to a point where it's like, Jackson, I can fill you, your mind, with all these facts about no one's going to come. What are the percentages of someone coming and, you know, riding all this, all these different things? But then it's like, really, in here, it's beyond here, is something inside that he's struggling with. And so Ida and I are telling him, Jackson, you're the light of the world. The light is supposed to go into the darkness. And the darkness flees when the light approaches. So he's all, okay, okay. So then he goes outside. And then as he's taking the trash out, I can hear him. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. The light is supposed to go. I'm the light of the world. The light is supposed to go into the darkness. The darkness flees when the light approaches. And at first, when he first started doing that, I'm going, okay, maybe not so loud, maybe not so loud. But I felt the Lord saying, no, he's declaring his identity to the atmosphere. Let him do that. And if the neighbors hear, hey, bless them. They will be blessed. Or they will come ask you about whatever, but there's purpose. So I'm like, yeah, do it louder. So he's, and that's what he does. And he comes in, I'm going, so proud of you, Jackson. So proud of you for stepping into a place where you are fearful because you know God is with you and you know who you are. And that's convicting to me because there are times I'm afraid. And for like Jackson, I need to remind myself. I need to declare it. I need to remember what I've read in the scriptures. This is who I am. This is who God is. And I'm going to act accordingly because my mind is being renewed and I'm walking in the kingdom. Right? You know, in a little bit, we're going to be taking communion. And my hope and my prayer is that as we take communion today, we remember Jesus and what he's done for us, how his death and resurrection have given us new life and new hope into this life we live, that he came to bring us fullness of life, to walk in the kingdom and to change the way we think and to change the way we see, so that we're not victims anymore, but that we're victors. And so as you take communion, you know, remember, praise him, worship him for all that he's done, but also know that he's come to move in each of our lives. All right, so let's have the worship team come on up. Or whoever's gonna. God, you are just so, so, so good to us. We just want to start from there. You are so good. You are so good and so loving and so caring, God. And that we those that have accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior, that we are your kids now. We are new creations, and that you want to operate. You want to show us how to live in this kingdom, in your dominion, and the life that it brings. To see fullness of life, to receive that. But then at the same time, not to just keep it to ourselves, but to be willing to share it with others. Those that don't know you, those that are not experienced the kingdom, those that are not experiencing fullness of life. You want us to share that with them. And so, God, we just want to posture ourselves in a place of surrender, of gratitude, thanksgiving, saying that, God, we just appreciate all that you've done, and with your commission to go, that we would go when you call us. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Bless this time of communion. Bless this time of this interacting with you. And I pray that we would have encounters with you in this moment. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.